for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, July the 1st, 1995. Fourth of July week, family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. We have several other ministries here this evening that will be ministering this week. And we have several that are not here yet. But we have Brother George. I want him to come and greet us this evening. And he is the gentleman who is responsible for all the fish that we had for supper tonight. He caught the fish. Brother George Wingate, he caught the fish himself. Packed it in, froze it, and packed it in a suitcase and brought it with him from Florida. Brother George, come up here and greet us. And he will be ministering throughout the week. He's going to be here all week. He'll be ministering. And he ministers in the area of deliverance and healing. But he was kind enough to furnish us a fish fry tonight, and it was delicious. Amen. And those of you who didn't get in on it, you really missed a good treat. Brother George, greet us here for a few minutes.
But it's great to be here. And it's just great to hear Linda sing and praise and worship the Lord. Where'd she go? And it's good to see all of y'all. And I want to tell you, you're a blessing. You're somebody.
Amen.
Glory to God. And greater is He that's in you than anything else. And I just believe that this week you're going to learn how to turn him loose, that greater one. You're going to let go and let God. Hallelujah. And I look forward to some tremendous things happening this week. Praise the Lord. I caught the fish. If I can't preach and teach the word of God, I'm like Peter. I'll go fishing. And I do pretty good, too. Now, when I go back home, I've got to fill up my freezer again, so, you know, I might carry another suitcase somewhere else. Who knows? One sure thing about it, I haven't got my one suitcase to carry back home now instead of two. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's certainly good. I don't know really how to say how great it is just to be. I was here 16 years ago during the Christmas time, and when we left here, it was so cold, I had to get a crowbar and pry my car door open. It was iced over, froze. And we drove all the way down to Shreveport, Louisiana, and still had icicles hanging all over the car. I don't like that. I'd rather come this time of year.
We don't like it either.
Well, glory. Well, listen, I'm looking forward to sharing the word with y'all and getting down to brass tacks, to the nitty-gritty. But I just want you to know that Jesus loves you. I love you. And if you're a part of the body, I am too. We're joined to the victor.
Amen.
There's no defeat in Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right. Very good.
I don't know if everybody fully understood the schedule tomorrow. Every day. It'll not change. It'll be the same until the last service, Sunday, a week from now. But 10 o'clock, 1:15, ladies meeting upstairs, and 1:15, a men's meeting over here. 3 o'clock, come back, and every afternoon, whoever is speaking or teaching in the afternoon will teach on deliverance. Some vein of on deliverance. And when they're through teaching, we will practice what they have taught. We'll practice what they've taught. Okay. Every afternoon. And then the evening service and the morning service will be deliverance, healing, teaching, whatever the Lord lays on the minister's heart who will be ministering. Now I will tell you pretty soon, I don't always do this, but just happens that before I sit down here pretty soon, I'll tell you the schedule of tomorrow. Okay? But right now I want Brother John Fletcher to come up here and greet us. He's from Indiana, and Brother George is from Florida, and Brother John, we have another Fletcher family who comes here to minister from time to time. And they're the black Fletchers. And this is the white Fletchers. And the other thing is that the black Fletchers and the white Fletchers also minister together and minister. Amen. Amen. So. Amen.
Thank you, Glenn. It's a privilege to be back again this year. And we were down here the first time last year in July. And I didn't come down to minister last year in July. And I ended up getting that privilege to do that. And we came down on Labor Day and just had a wonderful time and looking forward to a good time this year. I want to tell you something, folks. When Linda said today that God is moving across this nation, that is true. And he's moving in a very refreshing way. Old ministries are having fresh anointings. New ministries are springing up across this nation. And I'm so glad to see a lot of young people here tonight. But I want to tell you something. Your generation is being hit harder than any generation of young people has ever been hit by the devil. And I want to tell you that God has an anointing for you young people. I believe that you're the generation that if all of us don't get to see it, I believe you're the generation that will get to have the former and the latter rain poured out upon you. In the New Testament, there's a story about Peter and how Peter would walk down down by the temple and his shadow would hit people and they'd be healed and what have you. There are young people that if you stay close to Jesus Christ that are sitting here tonight, that kind of glory only doubled up will be upon you. How many know that that would bring some joy in people's lives? Amen. I'd like for you to turn to Luke chapter 11. I'm not going to take too long, but I just want to show you something in here. As we come together this week, last weekend at this time, I was with 65,000 men at Promise Keepers in Indianapolis. And that group that put that together in Indianapolis that ministered to us, they came together with one thing in mind, and that was imparting to the men who came, imparting something from the Lord to all of those men. And I want to tell you something. I took 15 men with me, and Sunday morning we had the most powerful church service that I have ever been in. Now, this is going to sound kind of carnal, but at the end of the service, and we'll dance before the Lord in our service, we had men in dancing before the Lord with their wives. And I mean, they had a hold of them, and they were spinning around like little children, crying, laughing before the Lord. And God is doing something powerful. Let me tell you what he's doing. God is getting us ready, my brothers and sisters, for the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you don't know exactly what that is, let me just put it this way. The word feast in the Hebrew language is hagag, and it literally means joyous. And it's a joyous occasion. It means to laugh. It means to be joyful. And God is getting us ready for the most joyful feast that the Israelites knew and that his church is ever going to know, apart from when we go into eternity with him. But there are many in this room, and I hope we all get to, that are going to live in that time when the church of Jesus Christ, we've experienced Passover, we've experienced Pentecost, and we're going to experience the Feast of Tabernacles. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I can't wait. Okay, real quick, Luke chapter 11. The disciples come to Jesus, and they say to Jesus, they say, Lord, teach us to pray. And, of course, the Lord gives them what many of us affectionately call the Lord's Prayer. But notice what Jesus says then in verse 5, 6, 7, and 8, and on down. He says in verse 5, and he said to them, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Jesus says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. I want you to notice something about the relationship, about the man who went to his friend's house. Now, how many of you at midnight, and we're talking about a late hour of the evening, how many of you would go and impose upon a friend and ask him for food? Do you have a friend like that? Somebody said yes. Do you have a? Does anybody have a friend like that? A few of you got somebody like that. Now don't lose this, because this should go with you the entire week. It should go with you all your life. This friend went to the friend at midnight because he knew that this friend was not going to upbraid him. He knew that he could go to that friend and he could knock on his door at midnight, and he went there expecting. He knew that this friend was not going to say, "Get out of here, I hate your guts, and you know, who do you think you are coming to my house at this hour asking me for bread?" He didn't do that. This man knew that this friend of his was going to receive him. He knew that. And did he ask him for one loaf of bread? He asked him for three. There was something else about his friend that he knew. He knew his friend was a generous man. See, if I went to my friend, and I don't know that I have a friend that I could go at midnight and say, "Can I have a loaf of bread?" But if I went and asked him for a loaf, I certainly wouldn't ask him for three loaves. But this man had a friend that he knew that he was not only would receive him, but he knew that he would give him three loaves if he asked him. And so the friend upstairs in bed, and he says to him, "Don't trouble me, the door is now shut." Now when he says it's shut, it means it was locked on the inside, and he couldn't come in. He might have yelled down and said, "Well, listen, you come on in and get it out of the refrigerator," but he couldn't do that. "So look, the door's locked, I'm not coming down there, and I'm in bed with my children." And I kind of perceived that maybe his wife was out at a Women's Glow that night, and he had his kids with him, see, and they went out and they had pizza, and they came home, and the kid said, "Daddy, can we sleep with you tonight while Mommy's gone?" He said, "Well, yeah, come on in here." And he's in the middle of the bed, and here are his, he's got four kids, one on this side, one on that side, one on this side, one on that side, and he had a terrible time getting them to sleep, and finally they went to sleep. And he didn't want to wake them up. And he said, he doesn't say, "I won't." He says, "I cannot rise and give it to you." Look what Jesus says, and he's trying to say something to us. He says, "I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, because of the guys downstairs, because of his persistent." And I want you to know what that word persistent means in the original language. Had you lived nearly 1,990 years ago or 50 years ago, and you would have heard this and you would have read this letter that Luke had written, you would have heard a word that you would have understood. The King James says importunity. A lot of other Bibles say persistence. The Greek word there means this. It means recklessness, audacity, shamelessness, disregard for someone in making a request, one who knows no restraint. This man understood who his friend was. He understood that his friend loved him. He understood that his friend was a generous man. He understood his friend would not upbraid him. And this man went before his friend, and he kept yelling at him. He went with shamelessness. He went with recklessness. He went before his friend, disregarding his friend in this case, because he went and he knew no restraint in what he was asking him. If you had lived that many years ago and you had known the original Greek language and you would have heard this, and you would have heard the word persistence there in the Greek, you would have heard Jesus saying to the people, not just the word persistence that we translate today, you would have heard the word that would have said, "Listen, keep knocking, keep asking, don't be afraid to come to me and ask of me." That's what Jesus was trying to say to them, and that's what Jesus is trying to say to us. He says, "I'm your friend. I don't call you a servant anymore. I call you a friend. And I have more than one loaf to give you. I have three loaves to give you. I have as many as you need. And you don't have to be afraid of me upbraiding you. You don't have to be afraid of me putting shame on you. If you will come, and if you will stretch out your hand in faith to me, if you will seek me, if you will believe how much I love you, if you will recklessly, if you will with a lot of audacity, if you will depend upon my love, and you will come before me and keep asking and keep seeking, I will deliver you. I will heal you. I will fix your finances. I will restore the breaches that have been broken down in your lives, because I'm the God that loves you." And that's what Jesus is saying to all of us in this day and age. Jesus is wanting to restore in every one of us a joy that we have, I believe, here to tonight, never known before. And I believe he's got a fresh anointing for every one of us this week. Are you ready to reach out and be persistent to Jesus this week? Are you ready to go home and say to your church and your friends back home, I knocked and I sought and I kept seeking and He opened. I found. Jesus touched me this week. Are you ready for that?
Amen.
Then be persistent. Amen. Looking forward to it this week, folks. God bless you.
Thank you, Reverend Fletcher. We'll probably hear more about that tabernacle bit before this week's over, because I believe that that's the next thing on the agenda. And the Lord is moving and working across the nation and the nations of the earth, bringing the praise and glory and majesty of His presence amongst His people. He's breaking down the walls of denominations that have been so high. God's been tearing them down for the last 35 years, and they're getting down to where you can almost step over them. Almost. Amen. Well, we will ask Brother David Brogdon to come and minister the rest of the evening and close the service as the Lord leads him. And we appreciate him and his wife coming down. And there he may say something about that he and Tommy Cook are going to the Dells out in Oregon the first of next week, the end of this week, the first of next week, and minister out there in an area where there's been some things going on that, contrary to what our Declaration of Independence tells us should be, there's been United Nations troops out there harassing the community. He has family who lives out there and has been, had to take some of the harassment. But that's not what we're here for. We're here to understand and talk and learn the word of the Lord and hide it in our heart so that we can stand in the days that stand ahead of us. So we be prepared to rejoice in the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen, amen. Brother David Brogdon, he's an engineer. Turn yourself on there and then I'll have to turn you up. He's an electrical engineer and a minister of the Lord. Lives up in my home and Brother Lyle's home area, Jacksonville, Illinois. That's where we're from up there.
Praise God. You'll be ministered to this week if you come. If you're persistent, as our brother said. Hallelujah. Come on, there's some good men of God here. And they'll minister. They'll minister with power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The fellow that's running that camera, I walk around a lot, so... You never know where I'm going to be. Amen, Lyle? Praise the Lord. Feast of Tabernacles, that's interesting. That's what I have in some of my message here this evening. I would say to you this evening to take notes. Take notes from what everybody says. Put them together at the end of the week and see what God is saying. See what God is saying. Because God will say something. In May, I was here in May, and I took notes of everything, and everything lined up. Every speaker, not a one of us consulted one with another. You were here, brother, weren't you? Not a one of us consulted, but the Spirit of God directed and led, and everything was in order. We serve a God of order.
Amen.
He is not a God of disorder, but a God of order. People ask me, what is God doing today? What is God building? I say, God is building His church. He's building Zion, the church, militant and triumphant. Amen. That's what God is building today. God is restoring unto His people things that were lost from years past. Amen. Generations past. Centuries past. God is restoring today. I would just like for you now, just all stand to your feet for a moment, please. I like to do this in the meetings. I find that it works. You get your eyes off your circumstances. Get your eyes on Jesus. Just lift your hands up a moment. Amen. Get your mind on Jesus and praise Him in your heavenly language. Amen. Praise Him in your heavenly language. Oh, le matakra kimo sodoka mi abo matashana kanaya. Oh, le mekima no yodo maria matarra ka keno to yodo siria no no matadaria. Hey, Lord, no yodo mahorro ke mea pile ke da yodo no sondoro ke mea diela. Lady yodo hunya braka matarra ke yenta kanida for sondoro ye matari yatara. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you now in the name of Jesus Christ that you would open up every ear this evening that they would hear your word. And Lord, that I would be so in tune with the Spirit of God that only your word would come forth, that would build up your people, that would edify your people, that would cause your people to grow in Jesus' name. Lord, open up our ears now. Let this word be planted in good soil that they would produce the fruit that you so desire in its due season in Jesus' name. And all said, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Woo! Didn't that feel good?
Yes.
Hallelujah. What is God building today? He's building his church, isn't he? How's he doing it? Let's look at Hosea chapter 4. Everybody knows these scriptures, I'm sure. I had come down here, and you know, I'm amazed, and I'm sure that others are too, at the fact that there are so many in the body of Christ that have been in the body of Christ for so long, but yet they're ignorant. They're ignorant of the things of God. They've relied upon one or two gentlemen, or whomsoever, to teach them, and they've not done anything themselves. The scripture in Hosea 4 and 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Amen. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me, seeing that you have forgotten the law of the God, I will also forget your children. Is that a tough word? He'll forget our children. Now, some of you may have children. Can I get a glass of water from someone, please? Linda, thank you. Some of you may have children, and you may be having, or your children may be having problems. I would say most of us here, as I look over the crowd, may have children. Some of those that have children, your children are having problems. Amen? That's because of this scripture, part of this scripture. We've rejected knowledge. We've rejected the knowledge of God. We have rejected the things of God, the commandments of God, the teachings of God. We have rejected those. And we went, as with the children of Israel, we went off some other way, and I'll put it as the scripture says, we went a-whoring. And God doesn't like it. And God is restoring unto his children the way he wants things done. I find in the body of Christ that people have gotten their minds in such a state that they can't receive from the things of God. Bless you, brother. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Excuse me. You know, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, this is a familiar verse also. Go there, read it. You need to read it. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We stop there. But God doesn't stop there, does he? The scripture doesn't stop there. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. How many thoughts? Every thought into the what? To the obedience of the anointed. To the obedience of Christ, to the anointed. Now, I dare say that there's not a one of us here that does this. There's not a one of us that does this. There's not a preacher that does this. There's not a man or woman of God that does this. There's something usually that happens, and thoughts come in, and we don't cast them down. And we play and toy with those thoughts. If the ministers are doing it, what do you think the rest of the body is doing? Same thing. We're toying with things. The enemy's casting thoughts at us, or we have our own thoughts that we lift up, and we toy with those thoughts, and it opens the door up for demonic spirits to enter in. And yet there's teachings going around that Christians cannot have demons. There's more demons in Christians, I believe, than there is in those in the world. As I've been around, I see more problems in Christians than I do with people in the world. And it's because they've opened their mind. This is a typical Christian family. Now, if I step on toes, say, oh, me. No, don't say anything. Typical Christian family. They get up in the morning, perhaps have breakfast together, but majority of the time they don't. The husband goes off to his job he has, and the wife does her thing, goes to her job. Children go to school. Come home in the evening, same thing. Children get home usually before the parents. Mother gets home, probably next, or the father, maybe together. They have a quick supper. Probably don't talk too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one little thing in the household that draws them all together, though. Television, isn't it? Draws them all together. That's their unity, isn't it? They come together with this one little box. And usually what they watch is not Christian. Oh, I don't know about that, but there's a lot of burning going on. They're usually watching that television. And what's happening is they're destroying their mind. They're putting things into their mind rather than the Word of God. Now, none of us are exempt from this. We've all entered into that. And what's happening is that God wants to talk to you. But He can't talk to you because you've got your mind cluttered and you've got thoughts on this, that, or the other. Oh, didn't you like that commercial it was on? Oh, you know, you get your mind on things, don't you? Things of the world. And you don't have your mind on the things of God. You know, there are many revelations that are not coming into the body of Christ because we're not loving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, like we ought to. We have our minds in other places other than where they should be. We have thoughts going through our minds that are taking us captive, and it's not the Word of God. Amen? Turn over with me to 1 Peter, if you would. I like what Peter says. 1 Peter 1 and 13. He says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Gird up your minds. The thought behind that gird up your minds is what Peter had and what Paul had is the girding up like a runner. A runner had on a skirt and he literally would pull up his skirt so he could run that race a little bit better. He wouldn't stumble over it. And that's what the picture that he's painting here is, get rid of all that stuff that would cause you to stumble. Get rid of those things, those thoughts, and that comes into your mind that keeps you from doing the Word and the will of God. Amen? How many of you would like to be doing more for Jesus? Oh, you don't have to raise your hand, but all of us do. Amen? Well, how can I do more for Jesus? How can I be a witness for Jesus? You know, the gospel, the good news is this, to go and tell. It's hard to go and tell when you're glued. When you're glued to that living room or that den, to that television. The most irritating thing to me, as a shepherd, as a pastor, as a man of God, is when I go visit people and they've got that television on and they never shut that television off while you're there ministering. I'm getting bold. I say, shut the television off if you want me to minister. I can't minister with that thing going and with all this other stuff going on. And it's got to be told that way, brothers and sisters. It's got to be told that way. We need to be bold, be strong for the Lord thy God. He is with thee. Amen. Stand up and go for it. Be bold as a lion. Amen. Lion. How do you like my lion? Lion of Judah. Amen. We got to be bold in these days. It's time for us to rise up and to be that church, militant and triumphant. That's what God is raising up. I find also, turn with me over to 1 Timothy. And it talks about, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it talks about the last days. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2 says, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith," and are they ever, "giving heed to seducing spirits." What seduces you? Seductions on television.
Right.
Now I'm not just making a thing on this television. I'm not harping on this. I'm just saying there are certain things that cause us not to be more effective in the kingdom of God. Television happens to be just one of them. You may have another God. It may be golf. It may be baseball. It may be something else, but it's a God. Now, God doesn't mind if you exercise, but if 7 days or six out of the 7 days a week, you've got to be on the hole number nine at 9:30, you know, or somewhere, then that's a God to you. But he says here that some shall depart from the faith, give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, if you sin three times, your conscience is seared. In one area, if you sin three times, your conscience is seared. You know what that word seared means? Cauterized. Like taking a hot iron to it and searing it. Like a branding iron. And your conscience is seared. And so when you come, it comes back around in that same area and you sin, you don't care anymore. And it doesn't hurt. That's why when we minister sometimes to people in the body of Christ, they can't see that they sin. But you don't know. I haven't sinned. I haven't done anything. Conscience is seared. Conscience is seared. They really don't know that they have sinned. That they have a problem because of the fact that their conscience has been cauterized. So what needs to be done? Needs to be prayed. Needs to be a healing in that conscience, in our mind. Amen? You need to pray for a healing in our mind so they know when they sin. Amen? Hallelujah. And so that's what we've been doing. Just of recent, we did it at our ministry. Prayed for everyone's conscience. Everyone's mind. Where's the battle at? Not with the battle axe either. It's in the mind. It's in the mind. That's where the enemy is battling. The enemy wants your mind. You know, I find a lot of Christians are giving their mind to the enemy. But God does not want you to give your mind away. He wants you to hold on to it. And He wants you to be free from those things, those thoughts that so easily captivate you. Amen? Now, the Spirit of God was speaking to me earlier in the praise and worship. And he was likening to me, he was bringing back some stuff that I'd studied a long time ago, but in the book of Exodus and the book of Leviticus, now don't turn there, the book of Exodus deals with the children of Israel in the wilderness, okay? Deals with them coming out of Egypt and going into the wilderness. The book of Leviticus primarily deals with the giving of the law, doing it God's way. Then the book of Numbers deals with God's order. How He ordered the camp. How He arranged everything. But God could not do that until, first of all, in the book of Exodus, He established the feasts. He established His Ten Commandments, His law there. The first ten. He established those. And He established the making of the tabernacle. You're in the wilderness right now. God is working on your tabernacle. God is working on your tabernacle. And He wants to bring it to divine order. Nothing less than divine order. You are the temple of God, are you not?
Amen.
And we're to be fitly framed together, are we not? So God is working it on us as we're in this wilderness right now. And God is establishing with us His law. 1 Corinthians 8 and 16, and it says that God is putting His laws where? In our hearts. He is establishing His word in our heart. This is the heart He's talking about, not this one. It's your mind. God is establishing it, isn't He? He's giving your mind where you know the things of God. You know how to be like Christ Jesus. Amen? This is what God is doing today. And God is also establishing order once again. You know, I think of in the 70s, in the church in the 70s, in the Spirit-filled, the full gospel churches there in the early 80s, it was chaotic. You didn't know what was going on or whatever. And that was the Spirit of God doing some things. And God allowed it. But God now is bringing the church and bringing order in. But with the order, there's still liberty. You understand that? A paradox. With the order, there's still liberty. But God has an order. Also, it was interesting that in the book of Numbers, that God began to establish and He had Moses count the number of men of war. Men of war. God is raising up today. We look at the book of Ephesians. That's a book of war. It's got the battle armament in there, doesn't it? It's got everything we need. We put on, right? We put these things on. We take up the sword, which is the word of God, don't we? And we do warfare. God is raising up that church, militant and triumphant today. Amen? You know, and that church is going to be the temple. And who's the head of the temple? Jesus Christ, isn't He? Jesus is the head. If anything else is the head, it's not of God. If in your particular assembly or where you meet, if they're lifting up your building program or lifting up this, that, or other rather than Jesus Christ, then it's not of God. Jesus said, if you lift Him up, the scripture says, if you lift Jesus up, He would draw all men unto Him. And as all men come unto you, if you begin to minister the Word of God, you won't have any trouble with the building program. You won't have to have any trouble with things. It'll just come. You know, I find that the early disciples, apostles, labored in the Word. That's the order of God. You know, your pastor should be laboring in the Word, shouldn't he? The leadership also should be doing certain things. I'm of the belief that, and I believe it's the Spirit of God that's put it within me, that we need to be raising up in our particular ministries people that have like vision that we have, so that when God moves us on, that vision will still be there. Now, God may add to the vision, but He'll never destroy the vision. And what I see so many times is that God is, a lot of times they bring in, people bring in other people that have different visions, and the vision that was started, a particular ministry started with, is never completed. I had the opportunity this last week to go out to another campground in Illinois, and these people have been laboring, as Brother Glenn and Sister Irma have, for some time to establish this. Their vision was to have a campground in Illinois, a place of refuge is what they called it, but that all denominations could come together and could worship the same Jesus and could see the same Jesus do miracles and do healings and do deliverances, and there would be no separation, no denominational things that would bind them. And they're almost completed with their vision. Their vision started over 20 years ago. There have been many things, I know the couple personally, there have been many things, as with Brother Grant and Sister Irma, many things that the enemy sent in to try to stop the vision. You see, if God gives a man or a woman of God a vision, they need to follow through with that vision. And sometimes we have to, we got to beat on the gates. We got to just stay in there. We got to keep on asking and keep on asking and keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. We got to keep on. Or the enemy will get the glory for it. It won't be God. Amen?
Amen.
Vision, that's another thing. That's another teaching in itself, visions. But every ministry should have a vision. I recommend every place I go that in the particular ministries, what's the vision that God has given you? And they'll tell me their vision. I says, well, I don't see it posted out here. Post your vision so everybody else can see the vision. See what direction and what God is building up. Amen? Post that vision. Get it out. What I do is make copies of it. To new people that come into the ministry, I make copies and let them see the vision. Let them understand. If they don't fit that vision, or they're not in the place where God wants them at that time, then they can move on, and I'll bless them until they get to the place where they fit. You need to be in a place where you fit, where you're, so we can fitly be framed together, joined together. Amen? If you're having trouble where you're at, most of the time you're not where you fit. Now, not to say that maybe you're there because you need some deliverance and then God will move you on, or maybe you're there because you need to know about order, divine order, whatever the ministry is giving, but get to that place where you fit, where you can work together. You know, this is what I find when people are not in God's order and they're out of order and they come in and think this is the place they need to be, they're the ones that cause the strife. They're the ones that cause the division because, oh, I don't think they should do this. I don't think they should do that. Well, brother, it's the truth. It's the truth. Look at Ephesians 4 and 13. Well, let's go in verse 11, 4:11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That word perfect there is the... Well, it means mature. Till we all come to maturity. Are you mature yet? Well, none of us are mature. But we're getting there, aren't we? I'm less of a babe, I'm less of an adolescent than I was last month. You see, I'm growing up more into Jesus. Growing up. I invite men and women of God in that are prophetic, evangelistic, teachers, shepherds, apostles. Amen. We have to have that. We need to invite them in and have them in so that we can come to the full stature. Amen. To the fullness of the maturity, the fullness of the full stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. We have to have that. Praise God. 1 Peter. Look over 1 Peter right quickly. I'm going to skip around a little. 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, verse 9, it says, you are a chosen generation. Stop a minute. You're a chosen generation. Now I realize this was written back a few hundred years ago, but you're still a chosen generation. Amen. You're in God's perfect order. You're in God's perfect time. Amen?
Amen.
You're to be doing something for God today. Yes. Now, it's kind of hard for you to do something for God when you got demons working in your life.
Right.
Amen? When you got problems. It's hard for you to witness to people, go out and tell others about Jesus Christ when they're looking at you and saying, I'm not going in there if they're going to be like that. Well, I tell you what, 30 years ago I wouldn't have either. But God is doing a work today. And He's bringing order into His body. You're the chosen generation. Go, let's go on. A royal priesthood. Do you feel like a royal priesthood tonight? You're on your way. You're a royal priesthood. Turn to somebody and say, I'm royalty. Well, the scripture says it, doesn't it? You're royalty. But you don't feel like it, do you? Well, I don't know. You know, if the Queen of England was here, or the King of or the Morocco or whatever, if they were here, you would treat them like royalty, wouldn't you? How come you're not treating your brother and sister like that? How come you're not treating your brother and sister in Christ like that? They're royalty. If your brother's having a problem, oh, did you hear such and such? If you're royalty, you're going to go over and give him a hand. You're going to pray for him, ain't you? Amen. But you're royalty. Now let's go on. A holy nation. Ooh. That word holy is the word katharos, and it means pure. Pure. Word, thought, deeds. Are you there yet? No. But God's working on you. You're getting there, aren't you? You're getting pure. You're more pure today than you were 2 weeks ago, weren't you? I hope. The scripture in Matthew says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Same Greek word, katharos. Pure. God wants you to be pure. You're a holy nation. A peculiar people. I like that word, peculiar. You're radically different. When people see you, they ought to see a change. Man, there's something. What's wrong with this guy? I got to go find out. Because of that peculiarity. What is it that people will be drawn to you? Because, man, there's something about you. I don't know what it is, but they're drawn to you. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. That you should show forth the praises. There it is again, Psalms 150. That you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Man, oh man, I want to show forth the praises of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Yes.
Jesus Christ is the one that has to be lifted up today. Did you know that you have to be an overcomer? Amen. You have to be. Look in Revelation 12. It's the overcomers. The overcomers are the ones. Well, I just read 11, verse 11 of chapter 12 of Revelation says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now, I hear this scripture quoted quite often, but they leave out the last part. And they loved not their lives as unto death. Brother George showed me something at lunch today, this evening here. And it was quite interesting. It was really neat because on the front it had this little picture of this little fella, and he's more than a conqueror. He's a soldier of Christ, but he had battle scars all over, didn't he? Battle scars. And I made the comment, and this is the truth. Most of the scars that we get are from those that are in the body, more so than those outside. But yet we're royalty, and we're treating one another less than royalty. Wow. Wow. We need to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for His blood. Every one of you are saved today because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Of the blood of the Lamb. Brother George, can I see that? I see you've got it out. Amen. There you go. There you go. Christian under construction. More than a conqueror. Doesn't look it sometimes, does it? Does it look like you're more than a conqueror? No, you got scars. You've been battling one another. The whole context of this Christian under construction is the fact that we need to die to self. It has several different areas here, but it all has to do with dying to self. Oh, amen. John said it this way, I must decrease that Christ must increase. Dying to self. But yet I find that most of us are not dying to self. I could read this, but maybe Brother George wants to. It's good. Okay, I will. That's right. It'll stick. It'll stick. Dying to self. When you are forgiven or neglected or purposely set at naught, and you don't sting and hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patience and loving silence, that is dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any impunctuality, or any annoyance, when you can stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it as Jesus endured it, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any raiment, any climate, any society, any solicitude, any interruption by the will of God, that is dying to self. Hallelujah. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation or to record your own good works or itch after condemnation, I'll stretch it out a little further. When you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met, and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy nor question God while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature than yourself and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. Are you dead yet? In these last days, the Spirit could bring us to the cross. The Spirit would bring us to the cross, that I may know Him being made conformable to His death. Dying to self. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Dying to self. We're not there yet, are we? I read that in there and I saw myself in that. I'm not dead yet to self. But my desire is to be dead in those areas. To be conformed to Jesus Christ. in His very image. What is God doing today? He's conforming His people to Jesus Christ, to God's way. Amen. Jesus said, if you continue in my words, let's turn to it, John chapter 8. Then said Jesus to, chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That make you free is a process in the Greek. Just like the scripture, here a little, there a little. It's a process of getting free. A lot of people come to me and say, I've got all these demons and I want to be free tonight. I said, sorry, God doesn't work that way. I would love to think that He would. I know He wants to, but He doesn't work that way. Little by little will you take this land. Little by little will you hold what you've taken. Little by little. If you're not holding it, then there's a problem. And I'm sure they'll get into it this week, in the area of curses, various other things anyway, that they'll get into this week. Don't miss a session. Be here. Be here. Get what Jesus has for you this week. Continuing in Jesus' words, we'll be His disciples. And we'll be conformed unto Him, and we'll die to ourselves. Romans 12 and 1. Romans 12 and 1. And we'll do two also. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, same word again, katharos, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, there we go, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Is your mind being renewed? Or are you letting your mind be captivated by the world? We're to present ourselves, and this is just not a once a week thing, presenting yourself, by the way. Every day you should present yourself before God. You're a living sacrifice. Every day. Every day you should have your mind renewed by the washing of the water of the Word. Every day. God is building Zion, His church, militant and triumphant. Look at Revelation 14 and 1. It says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written in their foreheads. The Father's name written in our foreheads. A brother asked me a question about this the other day. He says, how is it that His name will be written in our foreheads? I says, isn't it the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17? That He and the Father come dwell within us? Isn't it Jesus' prayer that we be conformed unto the Father, be brought back to the Father? And God wants to write His name in our foreheads. He wants to write His law in our minds. Amen. God wants to do that. Look at Psalms 87 and 2. I don't know how many of you studied or have studied or do study on symbols, types, and shadows. I noticed as I was looking at the books, there's a very good book back there by Kevin Connor on symbols, types, and shadows. It's a good, I don't know if you call it a primer or not, but it's a good book to have. And it shows a lot of the symbolism and types and shadows that God's speaking of in the Word. But in Psalms 87 and 2, verse 2, it says, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. What is he saying there? The Lord loveth, what do the gates refer to? Gates refer to powers, the power. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. The powers of hell shall not prevail against us. Same thing here, the gates, the power. The Lord loveth the power of the church, militant and triumphant, Zion. It's whose power is it? It's Him. It's God's. More than the dwelling of Jacob. Jacob is the supplanter of the brother. More than those who supplant their brothers, who throw down their brothers, who tear up their brothers, who destroy their brothers. Whoa. A little symbolism there. God does not like it when we destroy one another. God does not like it. We've got to stop it. Amen? We've got to stop tearing up our brethren. Hebrews 12 and 22. I'm not going to... And we'll do 23 also. But you are coming to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Wherever you come to Zion. You come to that militant church. You come to that place, those people that are militant and triumphant in Christ Jesus. And Jerusalem speaks to us what? Jerusalem is the center of worship. That's where all of Israel came and celebrated the feast. That's where worship went. God's concerned about our worship today. God is concerned about how we worship today. Most of the times we're coming in and we're not worshiping with our whole spirit, soul, and body. We're not giving ourselves as living sacrifices to worship God. We're coming in and we've got the cares of the world on us. We've got the thoughts of the world. We may even have that, well, we've got problems. And we're coming in here and we cannot get into worship. You wonder why worship has to go so long sometimes? It's because we're not prepared when we come through that door. And the reason we're not prepared is because we've been in the world. We're not there. We're not there. Hallelujah. We're not there. But God wants us to be perfect and mature. That word perfect means mature. He wants us to be mature individuals. That's His desire. Look with me at 1 Kings right quickly, and I'll end with this. 1 Kings chapter 8. This has to do with the dedication of the temple that Solomon built, that David had given his son Solomon instructions on how to build the temple. David couldn't build it because he was a man of blood. Verse 1 says, Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Jerusalem, excuse me, and all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethanim, which is the seventh month. That's the Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Ingathering, Feast of Booths. There's a lot about that particular feast. As our brother said, that feast God is restoring today. We've had the other feast. What do those feasts, what do the feasts mean to you? What is the Feast of Passover? What is the Feast of Pentecost? What is the Feast of Tabernacles? What do they mean to us, the church, today? And why, this is a question I'm throwing out to you, why has the church stopped celebrating the feast when they were set up to be perpetual? Why did we stop celebrating the feast? And today, how do we, as spiritual Israel, celebrate the feast? Are these all good questions? The ones I asked myself many years ago. Why, Lord, why? Passover. Passover is a three-in-one feast. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. Jesus Christ fulfilled all those. The church is fulfilling those. Every time someone is born again and eats of the Lamb, Passover. Every time we look at ourselves to see the sin in our lives, unleavened bread. By the way, there are five leavens in the New Testament. There's the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Sadducees, the leaven of the Herodians, the leaven of the Galatians, and the leaven of the Corinthians. You need to know what they are. What are those leavens? What are those sins? The Pharisees, I'll give you a little hint. The Pharisees was hypocrisy. Look at yourself. Are you hypocritical? Do you say one thing and do another? Hypocrisy in your life. That's sin. Wow. The Sadducees. Brother Tommy taught on this last time. I'm just picking up from it. Hallelujah. But he and I have discussed these things. Brother Tommy and I have. Tommy Cook. The Sadducees. They did not believe in the supernatural. They did not believe in angels. They probably had a hard time believing in God. But they did. The Herodians, love of the world. Jesus called Herod sly as a fox. He was foxy. He was deceptive. Is there deception in your life? Are you deceiving people? Are you the same in the church as you are in the world? Or are you different in church? Uh-oh. There should be no difference between you if you're on the street or if you're in the church. You should act the same. You should do the same. Amen? The leaven of the Galatians is legalism. Being drawn back to legalism. Being legalistic. There's no freedom in that. The leaven of the Corinthians was sexual sin in the church. Is there sin in your life in those areas? That's what we have to check. That's Passover. Amen? And Pentecost, we could go on in those, but tabernacles. Tabernacles is a 3-in-1 feast. It's a feast of trumpets, the feast of Day of Atonement, the feast of tabernacles. Good feast. I tell you what, we're coming into the Day of Atonement. I believe we're already in it. God's making us. And we're looking at ourselves. We're looking. The Day of Atonement, by the way, was the only time that I can see in the scriptures that they were commanded to fast. Now, there were kings that called fast, but it's the only time God commanded Israel to fast was on the Day of Atonement. And to look at themselves. And I believe God's doing that today. I believe people are looking more at themselves than they ever have. And they're seeing that they're falling short. But praise be to God, Jesus Christ. The scripture says in Proverbs that a righteous man will fall 7 times, but God will raise him up. Amen? Jesus Christ will raise you up if you'll let him. Jesus Christ will deliver you if you'll let him. Jesus Christ will heal you if you'll let him. When people come ask me, when we have prayer and things, when they come ask or come up to me, I ask them, what is it that you want from Jesus? You see, because too many times I come out of some ministries where people got their eyes on the man of God or the woman of God. And they begin to lift that man or that woman up. That was idolatry. You better keep your eyes on Jesus. Jesus is your salvation. Jesus is your deliverer. Jesus is your healer. It's no man. Just God happens to use us. Amen? God wants to use you also. He just doesn't want to use the pastor. He wants to use you. You believe that? God wants to use you. But he can't use you effectively if you've got junk in your mind and in your heart. Amen? So you need to be free from some things, don't you? God is bringing his people together. And there's going to be a great ingathering, and that's the Feast of Tabernacles. The Lord Jesus Christ will come, and we're going to be gathered together with him. Aren't you excited?
Amen.
Hallelujah. To be gathered together with Jesus. Now, there are a lot of things, as I said earlier, that the Spirit of God is doing today. Our brother back here, Brother Fletcher, said that the Spirit of God is doing some awesome things today in the body. I've seen the Spirit of God just do some awesome things in people's lives. I've seen people that God has been using that they didn't think that God would ever use them. But they've gotten themselves in a place that God can use them. The mission, you know, every one of us is a shepherd or an apostle or an evangelist or a prophet. God, as our sister Linda had said earlier, God's setting them in their places where they need to be. You know, Florida, you know, California, Illinois. God's got us placed, and he's placing us where we need to be. I told our brother that I didn't want to go back to Jacksonville, Illinois. But God spoke to my wife, spoke to me, and we're back there. And we were several hundreds of miles apart when the Lord spoke. So it was confirmation. We didn't confer one with another, but the Spirit of God spoke. I liked it down here. But praise God, God's got us where he can use us up in the little area where we're at right now. And God has given a vision for that area. What's the vision for your area? What's the vision? Do you know the vision where you're at? Good. Praise God. Those people don't know the vision. Find out what your vision, what the vision of the ministry is where you're at. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is working today, building up His church, restoring order to His church, restoring David's tabernacle, and all that comes with David's tabernacle. There's another good book I think they have here on the tabernacle of David. Very good book. I don't know where it's at, but look for it. It's good. It's good to study. The scripture says for you to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, do you suppose he said that to the pastors? Do you suppose he said that to the teachers? Everybody, didn't he? God wants all of us doing this. Turn off the TV. Get together with your family. Pray together. Read the Word together. Study together. See if God won't begin to use you. You do want to be used, don't you?
Yes.
That's the cry of most of the people's hearts where I go, is they want to be used of God. When I was down here in May, we had many people up here being used of God, didn't we, Brother Glenn? They were praying for people, and God was healing them. God was delivering them. Did it feel good, brother?
Amen.
Amen. God used me. God wants to use you. Hallelujah. God wants to use you. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, this may not have been some Rip Storton thing that's teaching that you could just, whoo, boy, this is glorious. But I pray there was something that would stick with you. I pray it's something that you begin to, you know, think about. Some of the scriptures, I didn't go into a lot, but there's some of the scriptures. You know, sometimes we can overgive scriptures. You know, we can give a lot, so many scriptures out that we lose the people. We just lose them. Now, we know that God's word will do whatever it intends, and it will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish the thing wherein to it is sent. But sometimes I wonder when I look into people. They're so got by the word. You know, I don't see our Lord and Savior in the, if you look at the Gospels, I don't think he went in too much detail in the Word. He just gave the Word. He was the Word, but he gave it. They listened, and then those that would obey, obeyed. Do you want to obey this evening?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, stand to your feet then. Please. Do you want to be a part of what God is building today?
Yes, sir.
Do you want to submit yourself in such a way that you can be used of God? That means submitting yourself to Jesus Christ first and foremost in every area of your life. There's some men of God here that in the days and hours to follow, that you'll get some good teaching, you'll get some deliverance, you'll be healed, and you'll be touched of God. Listen to what they have to say. It's not that they're such mighty men of God. None of us are. It's just that they're the vessels that God has chosen to put on Brother Glenn's heart to be here to teach you. God knew you'd be here and knew they'd be here. Amen?
Amen.
And so listen intently this week. Those of you that are going to be here for the week, intently to the men of God. Listen to the words that they have to say. And be doers of that word. And not just hearers only. I see this too many times. We come in, America is so blessed with the Word of God. But we're not being doers of that Word. You go anywhere outside of America, and they're doers, aren't they, Brother Lyle? They hear the Word and they do it. It's like little babes. Believe it. We in America need to do the same. I want to pray with you this evening. And after I'm done praying, those of you that need to leave or want to leave can, and I would like to the Lord has just shown me a couple people or a few people or maybe others just to give a word to. And I guess they would be released at that time if they need to leave.
Huh?
They would be released if they need to leave. Or
no, I don't know if anybody
that needs
whatever
to.
They need.
Okay, you know, restroom and things. Hallelujah. I want to pray with you this evening here that you would turn yourself over wholly to Jesus Christ. Not leave any area unturned. You come here this week or this weekend for something. Let Jesus do that work in you. Submit yourself to Jesus Christ and to those who are in authority so you can get what you need. So when you go back, you can be effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's just close our eyes a minute. Lord Jesus, I thank you this evening as we come and we've come and gathered together in your name, that name that's above all names. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you see and you look upon the hearts of men and women. You look upon our hearts. Lord, and the scripture says that our heart is a most deceitful thing, and it would truly deceive us. Lord, and there's been areas in our life that we have been deceived in. Lord, and we've not yielded ourselves wholly to you. We ask you first of all and foremost to forgive us for that. In your precious name, Lord Jesus, do we ask it. Lord, we come now to give ourselves wholly to you. As the scripture says, living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. Lord, we come to yield ourselves this evening and for the rest of our walk with you in every area, not leaving any stone unturned. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would deliver my brothers and sisters in the days to come. Lord, that you would heal my brothers and sisters in the days to come. Lord, that you would restore their minds, that they would put on that mind of Christ, that they would decrease, that you might increase in their lives. Lord, that they might be effective vessels, vessels of honor and not vessels of dishonor for you. Lord Jesus, I'm asking in your precious name this evening to do a mighty work within your people that are here this evening. And those that even would even hear the tapes that would come from this week of ministry, do a work in your people. Deliver them, heal them, set them free, bring them to order. Perfect in them those things that they are lacking. Lord, I ask it in your precious name this evening. As you look upon the hearts now of all of us here, Lord, bring us into unity and into perfection. In your name, Lord Jesus, do we ask it. And all said, amen and amen. You might be seated now. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Could I get some more water? I drink a lot of fluids, Father. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hello, sister, what's your name? Would you stand up, please?
Gloria.
Gloria. Gloria. Spirit of God has shown me, Gloria, that there have been many things that have happened in your life. Many things that have caused you much heartache and much grief. And the Lord has been healing you. I see that the healing process has been going on. But there's more yet. I see that there's a specific area that the Lord has shown me, that there's a specific area that you just boxed in. You kept back from the Lord. And I see the Lord, even in the days to follow, but I see him right now just working. He's like got a crowbar, you know, just prying, like this is a boxed-in area, and he's just prying this off, prying around this area so they can get in that area of heart and heal that. And I see once this area is healed, there's going to be restoration in family. I see it's because of the areas that you've held back, it's kept back that restoration. And the Lord wants to... wants you to see that he's working on your behalf, and that area will be healed even this week, and you'll see the restoration even after you leave here. You're going to see the restoration in the family. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, two glasses. The two glass man. Thank you, Jesus. Double portion. Amen. Blessing, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Ooh, that's good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Brother, what's your name?
Richard.
Richard. Stand up, Richard. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is just speaking to me more and more and more. It's like there's been a cry in your heart for more Jesus, more Jesus. It's been a dry spell. There's been some dryness. There's been a lot of am I wasting away or what? I mean, this is what it looks like. You know, it's been dryness, but I see the Lord watering you. I see just that water, the water of the Word. I see that water just come and bringing life. I see green, and there's life coming, new life. There's been some barrenness. There's been some you didn't think that you could be of worth to the Lord, but God said you're worth. You're worth. And God's going to, there's some watering going to be taking place even in the days ahead. There's going to be some new life coming here into your body even. There's a restoration in your body that's coming. There's healing coming in that, in the body there. And with that restoration, that new life, you're going to see the Lord just opening up doors for you. I just see it in your own little community to minister unto people. I see that God's blessed you in the area of just being able to minister. And I see you just begin to lay hands on people, seeing you minister unto people, and I see you imparting the same life that you're receiving into them.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for Brother Richard right now. I thank you for that word. Seal that word in him right now, Father God. In Jesus' name, Father God, I thank you for that healing in his body right now. In Jesus' name. Heal every part, every wound whole. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord is good, isn't he? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is good, isn't he? The Lord is good. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Brother John, come on up here, and Brother George, come on up here, and praise God. You can work with me in this. Hallelujah. Pray together. Amen. I'm sorry for not inviting you sooner. We need to minister together, don't we? Hallelujah. Just pick up a mic if you have anything, if the Lord's showing you anything or doing. Brother Lyle, come on up here. Hallelujah. Brother Lyle we ordained Brother Lyle through our ministry, and he's kind of a mission man. He's doing mission, doing works and things, it's good that the Lord's using him. He's a ripe old age of 70-something. He's a young brother in the Lord, though. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there anybody that needs a healing this evening in their body? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just come on up here. Come on up here. Those of you who need healing. Come on up here. Just get the line here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are these anointed vessels or what? Just stand up here, brother. Just stand up here. Okay. Would you give me a hand at this point? Get my water here. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, brothers, let's minister. Hallelujah. Just come on in here and get right with it. See what Jesus wants. Well, that's easy for Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you now for assistance. Thank you, Father God, for that heart right now. We command all that fluid in Jesus' name to be gone from there. Lord Jesus, we thank you now for that healing, the healing virtue to go through our body. We thank you, Father, right now, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Heal every area that all that excess fluid, I command it to drain off now in Jesus' name, right now. Drain off now in Jesus' name. Yes. Go ahead. Thank you, Jesus.
Pacemaker, and I need my heart.
Thank you, man. Hallelujah. Come on over here, brother. I want to just hold hands and pray. Can we end this evening? Hallelujah. We got some long days ahead. Amen. Well, let's do that. How about that? Father, we just thank you now in Jesus' name for this time of gathering together. Lord, I thank you for these people that you have brought in and others that you're going to be bringing in, Lord, that every need will be met, that they come here, they come in expectation and hope, Lord, and I thank you to meet them and as they come here this week and the days to follow. Lord, I thank you for the rest that we receive this evening, that we would just be restful and be ready to go for tomorrow. And Lord, I thank you to anoint my brothers here.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www. LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.